Let's take our Bible this evening and turn to John chapter 16. John 16, verses 32 and 33 are the text for the message this evening. A few weeks ago, we began a series of messages entitled, Be of Good Cheer. It's somewhat human nature to get discouraged, and of course some people deal with worse than just discouragement, depression and so on, but many of us get at least discouraged and kind of down about things. Even the psalmist had to say, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And whether it be something as simple as the winter weather, or whether it be something like poor health, or whether it be some other discouragement, there are many things that can pull us down in life. And there are many things, as we've said specifically in the Word of God, that are dealt with that will leave people discouraged. And we think of the mistakes and sins of our past, the things that we have done that we regret, feeling like nobody understands or cares about us. And sometimes people even wonder if God cares about them. Of course, we know that He does. But sometimes we get feeling down and feel like nobody cares, and we get discouraged. There's fear of all kinds, and feeling alone brings discouragement to our life. The troubles and the trials of life would seem to overwhelm us sometimes. And the psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He was evidently overwhelmed by circumstances, as we sometimes get as well. There are times that we have all our plans seem to fall flat. We make plans, we make arrangements, we think this is what's going to happen, we get all excited about this is the way things are going to pan out, and boom, things change. And that gets discouraging when things don't turn out the way we feel like they should. There's doubts and disillusionments in life that can lead to despondency and despair. But as in any of the, whether it's something simple or something more complex, the Bible has the answer to it all. And the Lord would say to us individually, and as a group of people, from time to time, when we face discouragement, He would say, be of good cheer. We said that the word be of good cheer is actually one word in the original. It means to have courage, to be of good cheer, and is also translated to be of good comfort. Cheer means to be glad or joyous. And so we realize that to be of good cheer means to be happy or to be glad, to be joyful, and we can be of good cheer. When we began the messages, we've looked at three things already in two different messages. One of them was that we can be of good cheer because our sins are forgiven. Remember the man that was let down before Jesus in the house? It was full of people, and they let him down through the roof. And Jesus said to that man who was paralyzed, couldn't move of his own volition, Jesus said before He healed him, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's great cause for joy in our sins being forgiven. Thinking about the fact that we have been forgiven of our sin, it's cause for rejoicing and joy in our heart. It's also a cause for rejoicing because God is caring for us and calls to us. And remember the blind man who called out to Jesus and said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people quite tried to quiet him down, but he kept crying out the more. And finally they said to him, Be of good cheer. He's calling for you. He calleth for you. And the man left his cloak and went to Jesus, and Jesus healed him of his ailment. And so he could be of good cheer because Jesus cared to call for him and to bring healing to his life. And we can be of good cheer today because Jesus calls us to Himself and because He cares for us. Also, we looked at the last time to be of good cheer because Jesus is present with us and knows our struggles. And we talked about the disciples, how they've been sent to go across to the other side of the sea, and the storm rose up, and they were cried out for fear. Jesus was walking by on the water, and they cried out, not knowing who it was, and He said to them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And so we realize that we can be of good cheer, even in the storms of life, knowing that Jesus is there with us, and He knows our toiling and our struggles, even as He knew theirs. Tonight we continue in John chapter 16 and a couple other verses this evening to see some other reasons to be of good cheer. John 16:32 says, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, everyone to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Let's pray together. Lord, again, we're thankful for this time in Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You bless Your Word to our lives and to our heart today. And Lord, I pray that we would leave here encouraged tonight to be of good cheer, because we know we see the answers, the reasons that we can be of good cheer in your word. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus says that we are to be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. As Christians, we sometimes get discouraged because it seems like everything is against us. The world system is no longer following the Bible. The Bible is being pushed away. Christianity is becoming no longer the mainstream. We've been very blessed to live in the Western world, in North America, and grow up much of our life where Christianity as a broad spectrum anyways has been acceptable and has been really the basis of society. Things are turning. It's not that way as much anymore. Atheism has moved in, some Eastern religions have moved in, and of course the corruption of Christianity itself. A lot of things have changed. And we get discouraged and downhearted about that sometimes. Now we see our liberties quickly being removed. Christians are becoming a definite minority of society rather than the majority or the mainstream of society. We're made fun of sometimes and picked on and often persecuted when people wouldn't dare criticize or talk about another religion. Christianity is fair game. And we get discouraged by that. We get disheartened about that. We get discouraged because people who believe the Bible are considered narrow and foolish, and we feel that pressure as we go out into the workplace, as we go into the school, as we go into society. We realize that we are fast becoming the offscouring of the world, as Paul put it. An honest look at the circumstances would seem to indicate that Christianity is on its way out. And outside of miraculous revival, there's no hope. I guess discouraging. And we say, well, you know, woe is us. We are being pushed out. We're being pushed down. We're being cast out. And we get that martyr complex that sometimes comes into play in our life. I'm reminded of Thomas, who just a few chapters back in the book of John here in chapter 11, verse 16, when Jesus had said, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and they said, well, there are people looking to kill you in Jerusalem, and Jesus said, well, we're going to go, and Thomas said, it says, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. There was a discouragement. He said, we're doomed, but hey, we'll follow our leader. We're just going to follow our leader and we're done. And sometimes we feel a little bit like that. We may feel a little bit like Toronto Maple Leaf fans. Is there any hope? We're being it's just loss after loss. And sometimes we feel that way. And yet the Bible says we ought not to be discouraged. Jesus said here, in the face of the fact that he himself was going to be deserted by his own followers, it was going to be the most intense time of his life as he was going to be betrayed and led to mocked and false trials and so on, and then be crucified, taking upon himself our sin. And Jesus said, you're going to leave me. And he said, but listen, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. There was something to be cheerful about. He said, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. We realize in our text tonight that Jesus warned them that they would indeed be scattered. Tribulation would be experienced. There was going to be tribulation. The word for tribulation means afflicted, anguish, burdened, persecution, and trouble. Now, how would you like to be told you're going to be persecuted? You're going to be troubled. You're going to have difficulty in your life. It's not what we want to hear. I'm sure it wasn't what they wanted to hear either. I'm sure they would have rather heard Jesus say, listen, we are going to take over the situation here. We're going to release Israel from Roman oppression, and things are going to be great. But that wasn't what Jesus said. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. Not what they wanted to hear, and yet the Lord was telling them the truth. He was telling them the fact. It doesn't seem to fit in our way of thinking with be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer when I'm going to face tribulation? They're not on the same spectrum. But Jesus said that we would have our share of troubles. If you became a Christian because you thought life would be all sunshine and roses, you are sadly mistaken. And there's some groups that promote that today, isn't there? It's just a wonderful, happy time, and we always smile, and we never have anything but a big smile on our face, because life just is grand all the time. Jesus said life isn't going to be grand all the time. And though neither they nor we really relish the thought of what Jesus said, he told the truth. This life is full of trials, tribulations, and difficulties. We all experience them. Sometimes it seems like every day. Paul talked about those things that came upon him daily. But the fact of the matter is that trials of this life are actually to teach us and help us to grow. We referred to it before. We know Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." They work together for good. Now turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1. 1 Peter, chapter number 1, we'll see again these trials that we will face. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. And Peter talks about these trials. He talks about being in heaviness because of these trials. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Hey, that part sounds good. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6 changes things a little bit. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Do you see what he says there? He says, you greatly rejoice in a salvation that we have. But then in verse 6 he says, though now for a season, just for a time, if need be, ye are in heaviness. What's heaviness? That's sorrow, that's sadness. Through manifold, that means multiplied or many, numerous temptations. But he says the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. And that it really is for our glory and our benefit, and it will be unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes again, we'll be glad of those tribulations that we went through and those trials that we went through. They brought us along in our faith. We have to remember when Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, that this is not heaven yet. We're on the earth. In the world, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why can we be of good cheer even though we're going to have tribulation in the world? Because he goes on to say in verse 33, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You realize tonight you can be of good cheer even if you're facing some difficulties and trials that God says you will face, because victory is assured. How far away is that victory assured? We'd like to see it now. We want to see things turn the tables today. But the Bible says, Jesus says here, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We said that sometimes we feel like we feel down, we feel discouraged, we feel like we're on the short end, getting the short end of the stick, and we're being persecuted and made fun of and so on. And we may feel like we're in the minority and therefore we're on the losing team, but Jesus said, be of good cheer. You're still on the winning team. You're on the winning team. You haven't lost the battle here. He said, I have overcome the world. To overcome means to subdue, to conquer, prevail, and get the victory. We have the words of Jesus himself here that he has overcome the world. You say, it doesn't look like it right now. Now, right now, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Things will look bleak in this world. Jesus said they would. And they will actually get bleaker, as according to the scripture, until Jesus comes again. But he says, don't fear, don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged, because I have overcome the world. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Conquerors means victorious. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Philippians 2 verses 9 to 11 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Revelation chapter 19 gives us a wonderful picture of a victorious king, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he hath a name on his vesture, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, right now we say it's discouraging. Things are heading in the wrong direction and our heart cries out to God, God, why? Why is it? Why am I facing these situations? Why is it this way in the world? And God would say to us, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Keep soldiering on. I'll be with you. And you keep going on. And we can praise God tonight. There's no need to be downhearted because Jesus is King. We can be of good cheer. He said, I overcome the world. Turn with me to the next book over, Acts chapter 23. The book of Acts chapter 23. And we'll look at another reason that we can be of good cheer tonight. Acts chapter 23 is a story in the life of the Apostle Paul. And he is very much in a situation where he would probably feel like not being in good cheer. Sometimes we get discouraged because things just don't seem to be going according to our plan. And it seems like the harder we try, the worse things get. If there was ever anyone who should have been discouraged by life and life's events, Paul would have been fit that category. You read what he says about his life, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times that he was stoned and left for dead, how many times he was struck with 39 stripes save one. It was illegal to give more than 39. You know, so they give 39 and that was it. And then they could do it again. He was beaten. He was all kinds of things that happened in his life. The Bible says that Paul fully expected to go to Rome to preach, according to Acts chapter number 19. And so we see here in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, it says, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For thou sittest to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, and the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called in question. When they had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Then there arose a great dissension. When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Imagine the situation. I mean, the Roman guard was so concerned, Paul's going to literally be pulled apart. The Pharisees are pulling this way and the Sadducees are pulling that way. And then here it looks pretty bleak for Paul. He could have been died that day because of the dissension that really he caused and he brought about. But look at verse 11. It says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. How can you be of good cheer when you're imprisoned already? You've got people about to pull you into pieces and be of good cheer. I mean, it didn't seem like things were going according to the plan. Paul, again, expected he was going to Rome to preach. He told the Roman believers he was ready to preach to them. That was his plan. That's where he believed that God had planned for him too. But when he got to Jerusalem, was accused of being a Gentile, bringing a Gentile into the temple, things changed. How was he ever going to get to Rome? How was he ever going to go to preach in Rome? It looked like the opportunity to go there was over. It looked like his death was imminent, according to verse number 10. And Paul could have easily been discouraged and said, well, there goes that idea. I thought everything was going to work out. I thought that God had in mind for me to go to Rome. And now I thought I was going to get there. I was sure that that was what was going to happen. But a point of possible discouragement in Paul's life, the Lord came to Paul and said, Paul, be of good cheer. Don't worry about it, Paul. Lighten up. Paul was discouraged, evidently, because Jesus came to him and said specifically, be of good cheer. You will get to Rome. You will testify of me at Rome as you've testified of me in Jerusalem. You're going to get to Rome. It may not have been how Paul originally envisioned it would happen, but God's plan was still in place. And we find that in Acts chapter 28, that Paul did get to Rome. He was there for 2 years. He preached. He had a rented house. And yes, he was under house arrest, as it were, but he was permitted to have his own house. And for 2 years, he preached. Did the Lord know what he was doing? Well, of course. We can be of good cheer tonight because we know that God has a plan. When things seem to not be going the way we expect them to go, we can realize that God, who sees the end from the beginning, who is the author and finisher of our faith, is looking down and He's saying to us, be of good cheer. I've got this. You don't need to worry about it. I have a plan for your life. The wheels haven't fallen off, and if the wheels have fallen off your plan, they certainly haven't fallen off mine, God says. God has a plan for our life. He talks about that in Jeremiah 29:11, the thoughts that He has to prosper and to give us an expected end. It may not pan out exactly how we expect, but God has a plan for our life. Don't get discouraged at the detours in your path. Realize that God has a plan and a purpose for you. He will fulfill that purpose and plan for your life, and it may be differently led than the way you expect it to be. But when you get to the end and look back, you'll say, oh, wow, how could it have ever worked better? If it had gone my way, it would have never turned out like this. We sang the song tonight, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Paul, be of good cheer. As thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness at Rome. It's going to happen, Paul. It doesn't look very good right now. It looks like you're going to be pulled to pieces by these people, but be of good cheer. The plans will come out, just as I have it planned out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Turn over with me to chapter 27 of the book of Acts, and we'll close with this one and finish off this little mini-series, as it were, of Be of Good Cheer. From Acts chapter 27, we find another reason, another time frame, where Paul could well have been discouraged, and perhaps was, but doesn't seem that he was at this point. But we see that God had His hand upon Paul's life, and that we see that we can be of good cheer because we believe God. Acts chapter 27 is the story of Paul's shipwreck. when the they wanted to take him to Rome, and Paul said, it's not a good time to go. We should go right now, and there's a better time. We should winter here and then head out from here. And they said, no, this isn't the place we want to winter. It's not the best place we want to winter. We're going to press on. We're going to get to our destination. A big storm arose, as it tells us in verse number 14. It talks about the storm, Euroclodon, a tempestuous wind. And the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind. Then so they just let the boat go. There's nothing they could do. They just let it go. Things looked very bleak again in Paul's life. It says in verse 16, running under a certain island which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands a tackling of the ship. Everything that was unnecessary, overboard. Everything went over the edge of the ship. This was a tough storm, and it didn't look like they were going to make it through. They did everything they could to lighten the load on the ship, to keep the ship afloat, and stop it getting stuck in those quicksands. And so it says, verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. No hope. The sailors that were sailing this boat were without hope. Anybody who could see, that we haven't seen the sun, we haven't seen the stars. I mean, it's been dark and dreary for days. The wind is blowing. We're done. We're not going to make it. All hope was taken away, but after long abstinence, verse 21, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete. He says, you should have listened to me. But they didn't. But he says in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Say what? We're doomed? There's no hope that we're going to be saved? We're going to die at sea? And you're telling us to cheer up? What is your problem? Where did you get that from? Well, he says, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. What a statement. How can you be of good cheer when you haven't seen the sun and it's been dark and the storm's blowing and you're going to die for certain? There's no hope of being saved. Then Paul says, be of good cheer. Cheer up, because I believe God. What a difference that made. Paul's faith, you realize, was in complete opposition to the current circumstances. I mean, there was no hope they were going to be saved. Why would you be of good cheer? Because he had faith. But his faith was in total contrast to what they were dealing with. All hope gone. But his faith in God carried him through the circumstances that he was dealing with. Paul's faith caused him to encourage others to be of good cheer. His faith didn't only help him through, he also was able by that faith to say to those around him, listen, I know you don't believe the God I believe in, but I can tell you, you can be of good cheer today because I do believe God. I know what my God can do. And he said that we're all going to live throughout this. And therefore, you can be of good cheer. His faith caused him to encourage others and help them to be of good cheer. His faith was based on the message he received from God. The angel of God stood by me this night. Whose I am and whom I serve. And the angel of God said that we can be of good cheer. It was not a blind faith, but his faith was a trust in the promises of God. Paul's faith affected those around him, even those non-believers, as we find later in the story. I mean, they were still ready to kill them later on. They still wanted to get rid of everybody. But we find that his faith did pass on to the others. He said in verse 25, as we read, I believe God, that should be even as it was told me. We must be cast on an island and so on. God revealed these things to him. But look at the end of this in verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer. Huh. Those guys that a little while ago were all in doubt as to their very lives, now they are all of good cheer. And they took some meat. They hadn't eaten in days because they were sure they were going to die. They were worried that they weren't going to live. Now they could be of good cheer because Paul, his faith in God had not only helped him through the situation and helped him to be of good cheer, but his faith was so strong that it caused them also to be of good cheer. They saw his confidence and they were also of good cheer. You know, in our lives we get discouraged by the storms of life, but we must have faith in God. Be of good cheer. We like to live without storms. I know I do. I like the sun to be shining every day and a little bit of rain at night and the sun to come out the next day. And you know, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Not only physically speaking, but metaphorically speaking, that life just was just great and never had any troubles, never had any storms. But the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Why would we need to express faith if our life was a calm ocean all the time and we just sailed across? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So where do we exercise that faith? In the difficult times of life. When things don't look like they're going to turn out the way we expect. When our plans seem to have failed, as we said, we must exercise that faith that we place in God and say, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know why this has taken place. This shouldn't have happened. But God, you allowed it to happen. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know why, God. But you have something in this for me. And I believe you. And I believe that you're going to see me through this storm, and we trust God by faith, and it's our faith that will enable us to be of good cheer. His promises are sure. He's never let anyone down yet. Not one word has failed from this book. We can still trust God today, knowing that He will see us through. And as we express our faith and exercise our faith in God, it will affect those around us who see our confidence in God. When they see our life, they saw Paul's life and they said, man, we don't understand how this is working, but if he's this confident and he's eating, let's eat. Let's be of good cheer. God's promises are sure. Our faith will affect those around us as they see our confidence in God. And so we can be of good cheer tonight. Why? Because we trust God. Do you have the midwinter blahs? Well, spring's around the corner. We said that. We've seen a little bit of a glimpse of it. I think it's a little bit more winter yet to have. But maybe it's more than the winter blahs that have you down. Maybe sin has discouraged and got you down. Be of good cheer today because Jesus came to forgive you. Christian, don't let the devil discourage you by reminding you of past sin already confessed and forgiven. Be of good cheer today. God has forgiven you. Perhaps you've been discouraged because you thought nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody is listening to me. Be of good cheer today. He's calling for you. He invites you to cast your care on Him. And He says, what is it that you would have me to do for you? Be of good cheer. He knows, He cares, and invites you to tell Him all about your troubles. Be of good cheer today because Jesus is present. He sees your work and He sees your toil and He is with you. Be of good cheer today, Christian, because Christ has overcome the world. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. We can't see it right now as the way things are headed, but just follow through, read the scriptures. You'll see we're on the winning side. We're on the victory side in Jesus. Be of good cheer because God has a plan for you and we'll see it through to completion. And be of good cheer because you can trust God. He's never let anyone down yet. He's not going to start with you. His promises are sure. Be of good cheer because you believe God.